Ladies and gentlemen, we take pleasure in presenting the outstanding humorist, Rube Goldberg, who presents the first of a series of five-minute talks on why is the human race, and if so, who cares? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Goldberg.
It seems reasonable to think that with doctors telling us how to take care of ourselves, and statesmen telling us how to straighten out the country, and astrologers telling us how to be successful, and lawyers telling us how to keep out of trouble, we would be a pretty perfect race of people. But such is not the case. We are still subject to a great many ills that have been overlooked by this vast army of specialists in human behavior. We still spill gravy on our vests. We still blame caddies for our bad golf when we know it is just plain dumbness on our own parts. We still burn toast. We still dance on each other's feet. We still listen to after-dinner speeches. We still run out of gas in the most out-of-the-way places. And we still drop lighted cigarettes on expensive rugs. With the able assistance of my scientific friend, Professor Lucifer Gorgonzola Butts, A.K., I propose to handle the great problems that the busy experts have overlooked. Let others settle the war in China. Let the bootleggers take care of the unlawful thirst of the nation. Let Congress smoke bad cigars and wear funny neckties. The professor and I will give our entire attention to problems that seem more trivial but are far more important. The professor, as you probably know, is the inventor of the red, white, and blue banana, the square mothball, the unsigned check, and the invisible soup strainer that fits any style of whiskers. So you see what a simple problem it is for him to invent an apparatus to extinguish a lighted cigarette that has been carelessly thrown on your expensive rug by a thoughtless visitor. Cigarette smoking, like halitosis, is a sensitive thing. You are timid about telling your friends about it. For a while, I used to have regular rug weavers come to my house after every party and mend the holes that were burned by lighted butts that were thrown on the floor. But the holes were so large that the rug weavers had to stay in my house for days. As you know, rug weavers have terrific appetites. Besides, one of them tried to steal my wife. After that, I decided to buy a new rug after every party. But when people saw that I could afford so many new and beautiful rugs, they thought I ought to pay my meat and grocery and gas bills on time. Of course, this wouldn't do because my tailor would want his money too. Then, I tried not having any rugs at all. This was worse because one night when I was giving a party, I discovered I had run out of stuff to drink. I excused myself and ran down to the corner drugstore. When I came back, the house was gone. Bare wooden floors burn much quicker than rugs. So in desperation, I went to my friend, Professor Butts, and asked him to dope out a simple machine to extinguish lighted butts as soon as they are thrown on the floor. He took a few drinks of shellac, and in a few moments came to with a simple little diagram that solved the whole problem. Get your pencils, folks, and draw a picture of the apparatus as I describe it. If you can't draw, take it down in shorthand and have it interpreted in a picture form later on at the nearest asylum. It works like this. After the lighted butt A has been thrown on the floor B, a new guest walks through the door C. He steps on a tube of toothpaste D that has been conveniently thrown near the entrance. As the paste wriggles out of the tube, a hen thinks it is a worm and runs for it. There is a string F tied to the hen's leg, which opens an old trunk G and releases a flock of moths. The moths, having been in there for years, are pretty hungry and eat up an old woolen sock I hanging on a pulley. On the other end of the pulley is a suspended grapefruit spoon K. As the sock gets lighter from being eaten, The spoon drops sharply into half a grapefruit, L, that rests directly underneath. The juice from the stabbed grapefruit squirts into the eye of a crying hyena, M. The crying hyena is the poor relation of the laughing hyena. The grapefruit juice makes the crying hyena cry, and its tears fall through a funnel, N, which happens to be standing right over the spot where the lighted cigarette butt was thrown. The tears extinguish the smoldering cigarette O, save the rug, and keep the host from worrying so he can devote all of his time to necking with the niece of the Browns who was visiting from Seattle. Of course, while you are drawing this apparatus which you now have laid out before you, you are wondering where you could get a crying hyena. Crying hyenas live exclusively in Cuspidor, South America, which is too far away for the average busy man to reach. But a crying goat will do just as well. Just drop in any brokerage office and you will find it full of crying goats. Professor Butts is being wired for sound so that next week I will be able to describe an invention that will be so realistic it will seem more useless than ever. Good night to my listeners in America, good morning to those in China, and good afternoon to those in South Africa. God help you.
Next week, Mr. Goldberg and his professor will solve another great scientific problem. How to remove an olive from a long-necked bottle without breaking the thumb and the forefinger. This is a presentation of Stage and Screen Stars on the Air. Your announcer is Thundering Theodore.